kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Thank you very much. That is good. And I hope that that song that I played before speaking to you has spoken, because Jesus says, I have overcome the world. Very, very deep words, are they not? And they are an encouragement for us. As he has overcome the world, so we too can and will overcome the world. And especially in the light of what I want to share with you today. And we have a title for our teaching. We're calling this Our Attitude Toward Enemies. Our Attitude Toward Enemies. All those who love Christ and are truly born of the Spirit will be challenged with this. And not only will we be challenged with it, but it is our experience. It doesn't take long, does it, when we are truly born again, we've met with the Lord and have been touched by God's infinite love and mercy, do we find we have enemies. And we don't even have to look for them. We don't even often have to converse with them or make contact with them. They are there. They are around us. And it's because of Jesus. And when we can keep that attitude and heart and motive, this really helps us to overcome in this area. And I want us to look this morning from Matthew chapter 5 and verses 38 to 48. You all know this and have read this many times, and it's in the teachings of the Beatitude. And this is where, in these teachings, that Jesus refers to the law, the Old Testament, the Mosaic law, but he opens up the inner principle of the law. He's very much teaching here because he has confidence in teaching this, because he is going to fulfill the demands of the law. The demands being, under the Old Testament, that people had to keep it. And in order to keep it, they had to go through all the rituals of purification and sacrificing in which to keep the commandments. And even then, they couldn't keep the commandments. You see, God is wrathful against what man has done. He has gone against what God told him not to do, to take of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so God, in many ways, has this anger. And the only way this anger can be appeased, if you like to give pleasure pleasing to God, because the law isn't wrong, the law isn't unjust, unholy, the law reveals God's standard, God's righteousness. And he knows there is only one who can fulfill the demands of the law. And that, of course, is Christ, his son. And Jesus knows that he's going to the cross in which to fulfill his Father's wish. He's going to deal with that anger, that wrath because of God's holiness, he's going to deal with it, to shield man, to shield us from God's holiness, the demands of the law, the wrath that he has in his heart. He has stood in our place and has dealt with that, and he is our shield. He protects us from this. And this is why God Almighty only does and can and see us through his Son, Jesus Christ, perfect, as though we had never sinned, we had never fallen, we have been right in his sight. That is how he sees us, because he received his Son in that spirit and manner, fulfilling all the desires, all the demand of the holy law, and taking on the sin of the world and becoming that sin bearer in his flesh, that we might stand righteous before him, uncondemned. We're still learning that one, aren't we, brothers and sisters? This is one of the most profound things, and I think throughout eternity we shall ever continue to learn what God has done for us, what he has saved us from, and what we are destined for. However, in this life we have enemies, and it's no good running away, it's no good burying your head in the sand. God is allowing this for a reason. And the only way we will begin to embrace our enemies as Jesus did, because remember, we were enemies of God. The only way we can embrace our enemies is when we look to Calvary and we look at what Jesus did for us. And what he now can and will do through the baptism of the Spirit, him now residing, living in us, how his love in us can embrace the unlovable, our enemies, those we have nothing in common with, how he can work that in and through us. It's as we decrease that he increases. This is the only way we will have the right attitude toward our enemies. We have all in ourselves tried to love our enemies, and we've fallen flat on our face, because the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. So with that, let us just read from verses 38 to 48 of Matthew chapter 5 and listen what he says here. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That is exactly what the Mosaic law said. Whatever they do to you, you do back. That is how Israel fought her enemy. But look what he brings, the inner meaning. He takes it further. This is why I say the preaching and teaching of the Word of God is revelation. And as God showed me years back, it's like an onion with its many, many, many layers. And you peel it away and you find there's more skin underneath. And you peel it away and more, and you peel it away. But there's always one thing with an onion. Tears. It costs. And listen what he's doing. He says, but I tell you not to resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. He's giving deeper spiritual meaning. If anyone wants to sue you and take away your tunic, let him have your cloak also. And whoever compels you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks you, and from him who wants to borrow from you, do not turn away. Look what he has opened up from an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Look at the revelation that's come out of that. Now, why is our Lord saying this? Because he is the one fulfilling the demands of this law. Because this law is holy. It is right. It's not Christ doing away with the law, which a lot of Christians have an attitude towards. Well, he's done away now with all the law and everything. No, it's not. It's still there. It's still for us to read under the old covenant. God has left these 66 books for us to learn. And it always points to Calvary, of what Christ has achieved and done for us. Because that is what the law required. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. So whatever you had done in life, whether you stole or you did somebody harm or whatever, that will be done back to you. And Christ shows the inner meaning. He's saying, no, no, I'm fulfilling that. This is the new royal command, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is the royal love. And that is the only command that we have under the new covenant that the Christian is presented with, is to love. I command that you love one another, which we call the royal law. It is not questionable. It is not to be debated or argued with or whatever. You have been saved by perfect love, by the love and grace and mercy of God. And he says, what you have been touched with and forgiven with, you likewise have that same heart and attitude. You see, we are going to the heart, to the attitude, because that is what God looks at. He doesn't always look at actually our works. We may have gone that extra mile, but I went that extra mile because I had to. I'm told to. God won't accept that. We go that extra mile because the love of God compelled us to go that extra mile. That is what motivated. That is the fueling, if you like. And we can so miss that one, can't we? You see, God isn't going to have us religious. He isn't going to have us doing these things because I'm told to do it. Don't bother. We can only do this. We can only embrace our enemy by the love of God and our love for him. And that is what he works on. That is what he's working on every day as you walk with him. That is what he's working on right now with us in this meeting. He is touching our heart. He is changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And of course, that is miraculous. Religion doesn't do that. Only the Christian faith can and does do that to those who allow him to do it. So we've read this then. I've explained some of it, how our Lord has presented this. So how do we handle this? Well, one of the biggest challenges to the Christian is, how do I love my enemy? And I think we, all of us, have to take that one before God sooner or later. We are going to find that we are going to have to talk with God because we're not having the love in our heart as we should, particularly if it's in the house of God. I also note that when we read this, that this love that Jesus teaches, his love, is a very practical love. It's a love that helps. It's a love that's prepared to go that extra mile if required. That speaks of something that is practical. It's not easy to go the extra mile when you've got somebody and you've got them who expect you to do it. It is your duty. You call yourself a Christian. Therefore, a Christian goes that extra mile. And I want you to go that extra mile for me. That's not an easy one. Now, of course, they don't say it in so many words, but that is what they expect you to do, little realizing that they too are to do the same. That isn't an easy one, because what you want to say is, why don't you get the beam first out of your own eye? But of course, we don't do that. We die to that. They're blinded. They can't see. They're demanding from you and they can't see yet. But God will open their eyes, and he does. That is why going that extra mile is very powerful. It's very powerful in God's presence. God realizes that that is costing. It's not coming cheap. And woe betide those who abuse and misuse Christians and expect that from them, because God will severely chastise, and he does. And I've seen professing Christians with that attitude, how God deals with them. But for us, we pray God's mercy, because they don't realize what they're doing. They're blinded until God touches them, till God opens their eyes. Now, this practical teaching, this love that we've been talking about, because I want to open this up further, because often there is confusion about God's love and how we act on that love. I want us to go a bit further with this. For example, let's turn to 2 Thessalonians, because I want to show we have enemies. We have enemies of the gospel, and we have to learn how to conduct ourselves with our enemies. And it's not always easy. But we get these principles in the Word of God. For example, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 14 to 15, and it says here, "And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother." So we are told here then, because of the sake of the gospel and the purity of God's word, there are those who don't obey it, who don't really want to keep it, who abuse it and misuse it. We're told not to keep company with them. Why are we not to keep company? Because bad company is an influence. It breeds. And we've all been affected by the bad company of other people. And we find then we have to get away. I can't be with that person anymore. They are a bad influence. And that is what he's saying here. But notice what is also said in verse 15. "Yet do not count them as an enemy." And there you are. There is the love of God. It's so easy in avoiding those who don't obey, who do not want the word of God. It's very easy to count them as an enemy, but we're not to do it. What it says we are to do is to not have fellowship with them. That is what he's saying there. We're talking today about our attitude toward our enemies. So we can have those who outwardly appear to be enemies in our fellowship. But we're equally not to count them as enemies. But we're not to keep company with them. They are a bad influence. Sometimes, sadly, the enemy works through them. And one can become deceived. So there is a first principle to adhere to. You see, we are to stand against those who preach a different gospel. How can we go along with those who do not preach the gospel of Jesus Christ? And there are many today. For example, we see in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 9. Now here the apostle is admonishing the church at Galatia because they're beginning to look to the law and they're wanting to bring back circumcision and other things. And he has to nip this one in the bud. And listen what he says here in 1 Galatians chapter 1 verse 9. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. That's pretty strong language, isn't it? The apostle's saying there. In other words, don't go along with it. It's an enemy of the gospel. These are demons, doctrines of demons, trying to pervert the gospel of salvation. They're trying to bring people back under the law. That is the warning of the book of Galatians. And sadly, we see a lot of this trying to happen with those who are overboard on Israel. Now, I'm all for Israel. I pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And I know that as God is restoring the Christian church, he's going to restore his ancient land. But he's restoring Israel, bringing her back because she has to receive and believe upon her Messiah. We know she's going to be tricked first, and that's why we pray for her, for what she's going to go through again. And she's going to go through great purging and persecution again. You think what Hitler did or tried to do is a type, is a warning. And everyone says we have to remind about the Holocaust. This can never happen again. And I'm not saying we don't have to bring up about the Holocaust. It was horrendous, unimaginable. And they say for the purpose that it will never happen again. Saints, it's going to happen again through Antichrist. Nothing new under the sun. And this is why we pray. We pray for her. You see, many in Israel, caught up with all of this, don't want to bring that one up. But the Bible is very clear. The times of Jacob, the woes of Jacob, God is going to purge. He's going to allow her to go through trial again. And Antichrist will have great wrath against Israel when he's finally exposed for what he is. But also the Christian church is going to go through much purging and persecution through the Antichrist. So we have to adhere to the scriptures, to the word of God, how he reveals it. Because the Christian church, Israel, has enemies, unfortunately. Jesus had enemies. It was his enemies that put him to the cross. That is the nature of the Christian faith. And many try to water it down. Many try to turn a deaf ear. Many try to bury their heads in the sand. But we cannot. God wants us to have the right attitude toward our enemies, the same attitude that Jesus had that enabled him to go to the cross, also us as well. And that is how we will overcome. That is where we will see the power of the gospel being demonstrated and preached. You don't have the power of the gospel if you water it down. And the Apostle Paul, here with the Galatians, he's coming hard on them because he's saying, you Jews, you couldn't keep the law. You practice circumcision. Why is it you want to bring it on to the Gentiles? Look at the hypocrisy of it all. But we're still to love our enemies, and we've got many enemies who preach a different gospel, and they call themselves born-again Christians. So we're to stand against those who preach a different gospel. That's why some say that wasn't very loving. We're to love them. Love will bring them through. No, standing for the truth of the gospel will speak to some, and they will be able to turn away from their error. There is such a sickly, sentimental love that's propagated today. Love presents the truth. Love doesn't change the truth. And it's not easy, that one. It's not easy when they're against you and they think you're unloving and cruel and hard and so forth. It isn't. The gospel preaching in many, many ways is also a preaching of warning. As it says in Proverbs, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Our true friends have often been those who have spiritually at times inflicted wounds. And we have a choice whether we become offended or we listen and we take it before the Lord in prayer. We don't always like it, of course we don't, because God very often still is dealing with that pride. But if we want to have our right attitude towards our enemies, then God has to always deal first with the enemy of self, because self is our worst enemy. And that's, of course, why in preaching the deeper life, we present the cross that we too are to daily take up and die upon. That is the self life. What does it say? We can take this even a step further. This is one that's not known much amongst Christians because the book isn't read very often. But turn with me, if you will, to 2 John. 2 John, verses 10 to 11. 2 John, verses 10 to 11. And as I say, this one isn't known much in Christendom because not many read 2 John. But listen to what it says here. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house nor greet him. For he who greets him shares in his evil deeds. Now, what is that saying there? Is that saying we're to hate those who preach a different doctrine? No, we're to love our enemies. However, we are not to embrace those who bring a different doctrine. Who are those who bring a different doctrine? Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, and others. Many times they come knocking on the door. That's part of their work that they must do. But the Word of God says, those who bring a different doctrine, do not receive them. Don't even have them in your house. Don't greet them. For he who greets him shares in his deeds. If you are going along with this and you pray, God bless you, you're going along with that. You say to me, well, what is the point? I can't see that. I'll tell you why we're not seeing it. Because in the spirit, in the realm of the spirit, where there are demons, the devil, they want you to share in that. They want you to bless them because that is what you're confessing over them. And they then can have a hold over you, deceiving you. Can you not see we're not up against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, dominions? And they can have a hold through us not obeying the principle of the Word of God. You say to me, well, how are these people then ever going to get saved? How will they ever know then? The greatest thing God has given you is prayer. The prayer of faith. The trouble is we still don't believe in our prayers. When these people come or they come knocking at your door, I've opened the door sometimes. I say, are you Jehovah's Witness, whatever, Watchtower? Yes, I am. I simply say, Jesus Christ is Lord of my life. And he is the Son of God, made flesh. Thank you. And I close the door. I don't get involved. Why? Because that tells me here. Because the enemy is watching and he's trying to snare us. These are enemies of the gospel. They're enemies of Christ, the one you profess you love and follow. Now, many Christians don't know this one, as I said, because they don't read 2 John. It's a book that's left out. But look what it says here, and look how we can fall in that trap. This is why we have to take the whole Word of God, the whole counsel of God's Word. But we don't count them as our enemies in that sense. It's what works in them. They are deceived by doctrines of demons. You're dealing with a spiritual force. They are being led by the powers of darkness, and you don't bring yourself under that. You keep clear of that. And so what do you do for these poor souls? You get before God and you say, Lord, there go I by the grace of God. That's why I pray for Mormons when I see them, because I was starting to be deceived by years back. But God had mercy over me. That God will open their eyes, that they will see that they are enemies of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're living in real times now, brothers and sisters. We're living in times where we're seeing the great apostasy, the great falling away that's taking place. Well, with that, let's look at Romans. What does the apostle say to the Romans? Romans 16. Romans 16. And verses 17 to 18. And what does he say here? Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you learn, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. What is the apostle saying there? He's saying you've got people, you've got teachers who know doctrine inside out, can quote the word, but they do it to their own belly. In other words, he's saying they are self-centered. It's about what they want. They want out of it. In other words, they don't want the cross in their life to deal with the self life. And by their smooth words and flattering speech, they what? Deceive the hearts of the simple. He says it's those who are not really weaned in the word of God, who are not taking the word of God as they should. It's the simple, he says, they're the ones that get caught up, caught in it all. So the apostle has quite a lot to say here. You see, God is making us custodians of his word. And his word has to be pure, undefiled. The revelation of his word has to be checked, discerned, tested. The same with ministers who minister the word. We're dealing with the holiness, the purity of God, so that we are not defiled, we're not deceived, we're kept clean by the washing of this word. And brothers and sisters, we're going to appreciate this more and more. But we're dealing with this question, our attitude toward our enemies. There will be times that you will see your enemies. They'll be right in front of you. They'll be around you. They'll be at work. They could even be in your family or whatever it is. What does Proverbs 25 and verse 21 tell us? Proverbs 25 and verse 21. If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. So if your enemy is hungry, he's thirsty, feed him. Doesn't matter what he says or the abuse that comes out of the mouth or whatever it is. If you see that need, then help them. There is the practical side of our Christian walk. And we've all encountered that. Or you will do. The same principle is even in Matthew 10 and verse 36. This one challenges us, good and proper. Matthew 10 and verse 36. And listen what he says here. And a man's enemies will be those in his own household. So what is your attitude towards some in your household who are really having a go at you, making life difficult because you're a Christian? That's where it can come. We're still to love them. We're still to go that extra mile. That's a hard one, that one. And there are some overcomers who sadly got enemies in their household, who don't like them walking with Christ, don't like them coming to the meetings or listening to the word or reading their Bible. But that is our overcoming. And our overcoming in that is what? To help us to have the right attitude towards our enemies. Not to compromise, no, but not to hold resentment, anger, bitterness. They're the things that the enemy wants to try and get in and hold and paralyze you with. Because he knows if there's unforgiveness, there's bitterness, he knows your prayers are hindered. The devil's not stupid. He certainly is not. As we bring this to a conclusion, our attitude towards our enemies, we have to remember our Lord has many enemies. That is the tragedy. That is the awful side of it, that the greatest gift given to mankind, man has made it his enemy. You see, God's love and forgiveness embraces even our enemies. Why? Because they are God's enemies. So if they are God's enemies, they're going to be our enemies. But God loves them, and he's going to work through you, that you too will have the right heart and attitude towards them. And many who reject you, revile you, persecute you, lie about you, remember they are doing that to Christ, to the Lord that is in you. That's who they're doing it first to. And when we can hold that in our mind and thinking, it's a great, great help. It's a great buffeter. But all of this, to me, just simply embraces the impact of Calvary. I think this very teaching today about our attitude towards our enemies, and we've been looking at the various different types of our enemies and how we're to approach this, simply reveals to me the impact of what Christ has done at Calvary. It goes so much further than what we realize. Calvary isn't just about me, myself, and what it's done for me. It's what it's done for humanity, for the world, and what it continues to do. And yet, it has got many enemies. You see, Christianity isn't about revenge. And one of the best ways to get deliverance from unforgiveness, resentment, revenge, is to help your enemy. Are you having problems in your heart? Unforgiveness, bitterness, revenge, anger? The best way for you to start getting delivered is to help your enemy, those who wrongfully use you or abuse you. Love them with the love of Christ, and that is your deliverance. See, the enemy can't counterfeit that. That causes, that weakens the enemy. The love of God weakens the enemy. Now, how God accomplishes this and how he does this, it's a miracle. And I know some of you, bless your heart, you've gone through exactly what I'm talking about. You've had to go through these experiences, but trust me, the gold that will come out of this will shine for the glory of God. We have to have a right attitude and heart toward our enemy. Let God work that. Don't resist him. Don't fight him. Just let him work that in and through you for his glory. Because he forgave us, we also forgive them. Father, thank you for this word. We know it's very important. We know that this glorifies your name. This is the heart of the gospel. This is the great testing for all of us. But Lord, we have your mercy and your grace. And Lord, help us to have the right attitude toward our enemies, whoever they would be. And Lord, we have looked at just some of them in your word today. But Lord, above all, we see that they are first and foremost your enemies. Father, you know all things. Your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. It seems incomprehensible that you should have enemies. But sadly, Lord, you do. And may, by the mercy and grace of God, we never be your enemy. May we always be in love with you and receive that love. And everything we say and do is motivated by the love, grace and mercy of God. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Disaster. Let him in constancy follow.